OK， 哎 ，testing， 个大声有无？啊 ，OK，OK，OK，testing， 啊 ，OK，OK，it's OK， 来 I say we are still early， So for those who was here just now， before we clean the whiteboard， what was it？ Very clouded, isn't it? Very confusing. Your mind actually is something like that. Initially, it's pure, spacious awareness, nothing inside there. Then, when it is like that, you can learn things very fast. Whatever you write, very clear. But if you store too much until the whole whiteboard all over, then it becomes very, very difficult to become clear. The other thing is, every time you put something, you realize it take out the space, it blocks you. You never realize what your mind has become when you have all your views, opinion, your dogma, your tradition. This one cannot do, that one cannot do, this one must do like that, that one. You restrict yourself all over, Nasana. That is what happens to the mundane mind. The mundane mind has a lot of fear, has a lot of restriction because of all the views, the opinion, the dogma, the tradition, the authority. So every time you want to act, you're scared, Nasana. My parents say cannot. My teacher say cannot, or my friend say wrong. So this is how the mind that doesn't have clarity will become muddled up. Then when it become muddled up, you create a lot of restriction to yourself. They call attachment to views and opinion, to all the dogmas. To all of the whatever belief system that you hold on to. And all this restrict you from investigating, from acting. That's why you have a lot of what they call constraint within your own mind. Your own mind is not free to move. Then it lacks wisdom, it lacks understanding. That's why it doesn't know how to act. And that mind, how it was conditioned until it becomes so deluded and so egoic. You cannot understand, you cannot see all those things. And you continue to use that type of mind. That's why you cannot come out of it, you cannot free. You forgot your original state, your original nature, which was pure, beautiful, spacious, without any restriction, without any defilement, without any authority to restrict you. That spacious, clear, beautiful awareness, no more now. And this is the one that can understand a lot of things. Yeah, just wait, come. Another 1 minute, then we can start. Correct, I know. Very bad. That's why my phone has to be on alert. Because lately, you saw from some WhatsApp reporting, our security, basic what they call citizenship safety, you know, is no longer guaranteed. Huh? You don't feel safe even coming back to home while parking your car. Anything can happen. Then nowadays, like that incident, Subang Parade also not safe. Inside there, also got snatched. Yeah, right inside last night. That's why you don't take for granted that in a mall nobody will do it. You need to be careful. But don't live with fear. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Otherwise it's not easy. Okay, 8:30 we start. So we can do the puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then pay respect mindfully. Then we start. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macapamadatana. Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself, then maintain some more attention. Okay, tonight, I think everybody here before, nobody new. Good, so straight away, I think you all can start your meditation. Just to recollect. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away can start. Those who are still not so sure, you need to train your mind, then you prepare yourself. Just relax body and mind. Then make sure you have what they call straight back. The spinal cord straight. Relax. body and mind, then maintain some form of silence within. Don't think, just silence your mind. The moment your mind is silent, you can become peaceful very fast. But for most of you, if you have not trained your mind, you have not developed the daily mindfulness, most of the time this mind is heedless, think a lot. The five hindrances are there, make you heedless. So you need to cultivate the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, which is the bottom five. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. That's why our pre-puja just now help you to prepare your mind so that the mind has faith, Saddha, then develop the Virya through understanding how beautiful the Buddha's teaching is and how wonderful and great the Buddha is. Then through these two, you compose your mind and you pay respect mindfully. You develop mindfulness and calmness of mind. Then after that, we chant. When we chant, we not only develop faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, we also recite the salutation, and that is very meritorious too. We recall to mind the great virtues of the Buddha, the three great virtues. That's why we salute him. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then your mind develop more confidence, Saddha. Then we take refuge. We renew our three refuges, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. And all these are very wholesome. It creates a lot of condition for you to connect with the Triple Gem. Then after that, you renew your precept. You determine to cultivate these precepts. And they are very meritorious. It is one of the highest meritorious actions within the 10 meritorious actions. You can keep your precept. Your precepts not only prevents you from evil, it prevents you from harm too. You don't harm others, and at the same time, the karma will take care of you, and people will not harm you. Then after that, you rejoice. That is also a meritorious action. Then now you meditate. Also a meritorious action. Okay? For those who are still not sure of the meditative training, you should read the book that I gave you all early on, the 12th September last year's transcript. For those who don't have that copy, you can ask from, I think, Brother Suyan, he should have some. Otherwise, you can get it from me. Okay, I will off the light. Thanks, Andrea. Then you all can immediately proceed with your meditation. Those who need to train your mind, you train. You can either use the mind sweeping method, then stabilize it with metta. Then after that, develop the training of this anapanasati to stabilize your sati or mindfulness. Then after that, you silence your mind, and then you develop the meditation. Okay, now you can start. I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come on the meditation. So as usual, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed through this formal meditation training. The mind that is trained is very different. The mind that is trained is peaceful, relaxed, and just aware within silence. When you have trained your mind, this mind listen to you. You want it to be quiet, silent, it will just do that. You want it to be aware, it will just do that. Then if you want to use it to develop understanding, you can use it. The silent mind, without thought, is your awareness within. So every time this mind is silent, still, quiet, peaceful and aware, that is your true mind. But you have not trained. This mind think a lot, worries a lot, wanders off very fast, very restless, a lot of hindrance. That's why sometimes the Buddha gave an analogy. He said, the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. Whereas the mind that is trained is very peaceful, very tranquil, very quiet, without thought and silent. So the difference between the heedless mind and the trained mind, you will come to understand as you develop this meditative training. The importance of training this mind is very, very, what they call, clear. Without this training, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, will be very restless, very heedless. And because of that, you cannot meditate because it is not suitable for meditation. To develop the meditation, the first thing you need to develop is sati, mindfulness. And without mindfulness, you cannot develop the meditation because meditation is to combine this mindfulness to cultivate wisdom. To cultivate wisdom, you must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom. So heedfulness is a combination of mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then it becomes heedfulness, apamada. So always remember, the real meditation is after you have trained your mind, then use this mind that is trained to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life itself. That is the real meditation. That is what the Buddha calls sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension of all things that is happening within life itself. Okay, now we can continue with the reporting Q&A session, the second session. So anybody who wants to develop the better understanding of what meditation is, you should report your meditation. Then you can ask questions after that. Whatever questions that are related to the meditation, to the Dhamma, any aspect of the teaching or the Dhamma that you still don't quite understand. Then the last one is, of course, question related to your daily life. How you can make use of what you have learned here in the teaching to help you understand life, to help you overcome all of your problems that you encounter in life. Okay, now we open it up to the floor. You got any question? You want to report your meditation? Good. Yes. Yeah, you hold on. they get the mind for you. Yeah, Eric, you use the mic.
Testing.
Yes.
Every time during the sitting meditation, I always encounter that is a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
So when I bring back to the breathing, then very short one, then the thought will come in again.
Okay.
So what should I do in a way that?
Okay. Have you read the book, the 12th September? Oh, you have read, So, I have to bring you back to the understanding so that you know what to do. Yes or not? Because this question is very common, like what you have asked. You realize every time when you try to meditate, the mind think a lot, yes or not? Very restless. I already explained earlier on many of this session. Why is your mind that way? Why are you not peaceful? How come the mind is so restless, think a lot? Why? Do you know why or not? What did the Buddha say? Correct, but what is the cause behind the lack of mindfulness? Because of what? You look at the five mental hindrances. So the Buddha started off by a very simple understanding. He said, the reason why you should train this thinking mind, this heedless mind, this wandering mind, is because it is heedless due to the five hindrances. And the Buddha called them the hindrance of mind. Means what? It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calmness. Understand? The inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness cannot come about because of this hindrance. And this hindrance need to be understood. Understand? And you can check throughout the day, do you have them? And I tell you, 99.999% of the living beings, they have this hindrance. The first two is very easy to understand. What is sensual desire? What is ill will? These are the duality, the like and dislike. The pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So the Buddha said, when your mind has a lot of this hindrance, it will continue to react to sense experience. I mean, every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, or when you arise a thought, you will tend to react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Because human being has craving, desire, positive and negative. Things that you like become positive craving. Understand? That's why from the word sensual desire, it's got something to do with your senses. We got our five physical senses, and the mind is the sixth sense. So there is this desire of what you experience through your senses, and that one is the first hindrance. If it's positive, it's sensual desire. If it's negative, it is ill will, dislike, or what they call aversion. You want to push it away, understand? You call it unpleasant sense experience, your dislike for that sense experience. So when this thing happens, you ask yourself, what happened to you when you develop this? And throughout the day you do that, that's why you have a lot of this first two hindrances. You react to sense experience until this first two hindrances become so habitual. That's why your habitual tendency is so strong. This is the reason why you throughout the day not peaceful. Very, very heedless. Heedless means what? Think a lot. Comment a lot. Why? because you react to sense experience. That's why you are not peaceful. And you ask yourself, what happened when you have this sensual desire or ill will? What happened to you? Yeah? Are you peaceful? You are no longer peaceful, right? Where you are preoccupied with what? Huh? Preoccupied with that? That sense experience, right? Let's say you see something that you like. How can you be aware? The moment you have sensual desire on what you see, means you are preoccupied with that experience. Correct or not? Correct or not? Then what you do? You go and react, think, and worry about it, or grieve for it. So when you do that, you are lost in thought. Correct or not? Completely lost in thought. You become heedless. How can you maintain awareness? You're supposed to meditate to be aware, to see things as they are, to understand what is going on. But instead, your mind is preoccupied with that sense experience. Whether positive or negative, reacting, commenting, judging, doing all these things. So when you have this, the hindrance hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot be aware, you cannot be with the moment. You are lost in thought. You are entangled with the sense experience, whether positive or negative. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you cannot experience the sense experience. You can, but be heedful, be mindful. To experience it with total awareness. You understand? You can be aware of that whole thing. Just like when you eat, when you chew, when you swallow, or when you walk, or whatever you do with that sense experience. There is clarity of mind, there is full awareness within asana. There is no mental chattering asana, or commentary asana. This commentator is worse than the news commentator, you know. At least that one described the game. This one describes everything that your mind arises. So these first two, they are most common, most powerful. So that is the reason why the Buddha said, you have a problem. Your mind has this hindrance, that's why you cannot become peaceful. So what must you do when you know that you have this hindrance? You don't try to fight it. No. You don't try to stop the thinking. No. You cannot do it. No. But it has become so habitual. You need to actually trace the source behind. The source behind is because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty, the Buddha said. Without this spiritual faculty, the hindrance becomes very powerful. Then the third one is sleepiness. When you got nothing for the mind to do, you feel sleepy. Right? When the topic does not interest you, when you listen to a lecture, you feel sleepy. Right? The lethargic mind, the sleepy mind, is sloth and torpor. And this one also a hindrance. When you are sleepy, how can you be aware? You can't even do your work. Because you are so sleepy, you can't even pay attention. Even in a classroom, you cannot study at all. So you need to have alertness or attentiveness, which is awareness. That's why the hindrance is sloth and torpor. The fourth one is very common, because when you go through life, especially for those who don't keep their precepts, who are very heedless, constantly arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion to create all the suffering within themselves and to others. So when you break your precept, when you arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you create a lot of what they call negativity. And because of that, you suffer. You got fear. You got worry. You got anxiety. Because you scared people come to know that you have cheated on them. You scared your boss will come to know that you have committed certain CBT or whatever. And so on. Or you have lied. Or you have killed and harmed somebody. or you had deceived or cheated or stolen from your company or people whom they trusted you. So all this will lead to fear, worry, anxiety, then finally remorse, sorrow and lamentation. Once you have all this, your mind become restless. Anasana. You don't have a peaceful mind anymore because your fear, worry, anxiety make you restless. Then when you have problem, like career problem, fear of losing your job, fear of not able to meet data, what they call schedule, or to meet the deadline and all those things. Then there is this fear of not able to perform, then fear of losing your job, your career, your business, your investment and all those things. Then relationship failure, then health problem, you also develop the fear. So the mind that has problem has a lot of restlessness because it has fear, it has worry, it has anxiety. So these four mental hindrances are very real. Then the last one is worse. When you lack confidence, you have a lot of doubt. When you are not sure, very doubtful, your mind really cannot focus, cannot concentrate, cannot become peaceful. You cannot develop the self-confidence even to live life. So a person with doubt doesn't have confidence in himself. So when these are very strong inside your thinking mind, your mundane mind, when the mental hindrances are there, they are very, very strong. Your mind will become heedless. The Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. That is the meaning. It means you got no more spiritual life. You are as if dead. Nobody can help you. So what must you do? The Buddha said you must cultivate the opposite five. And this opposite five, the moment you cultivate, your problem is no more. First one is what? Sadda. We have to go through this clearly so that you understand how to cultivate. Huh? What is sadda? Faith is what? Confident in what? The Buddha and his teaching. Okay? The teaching, you know, is very, very wonderful. It can bring about understanding of life. It can bring about enlightenment. It can free your mind from all suffering. So you have to develop that understanding, then determine, if I want to change my life, if I want to have a better life, I must understand this teaching. That's how virya come to be. Then the other one that can give you faith is the Buddha is the fully enlightened one. Anasana. Sama Sambuddha, not only enlightened, fully enlightened. Complete in all aspects of enlightenment. Means he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. Means he has perfected all of wisdom and virtue ever possible to be perfected by any living being. So that will give you very strong faith. Asana. We have to have a teacher who is of such caliber. It's very rare, very difficult to find. The wisest and most virtuous living being ever to be born. You can have a wise one teaching you, you're already so lucky and so fortunate, correct? But this one is the best among the best, the wisest and the most virtuous. So you must have great faith in him. Then you must develop the virya. Virya is a type of spiritual zeal, understand? Spiritual zeal. And this you can do with your pre-puja, understand? Just now before we start the pre-puja, what do you do, pre-puja? You compose your mind to develop the faith and the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through recalling to mind this Buddha image. You help. This is not the Buddha, understand? But this is the Buddha image, the Rupang. It helps to recall to mind the great virtue, wisdom, perfection, and great loving kindness of Lord Buddha. You recall to mind his nine great virtues. He is the worthy one, the blessed one, and the fully enlightened one, teacher of man and God, and the Sana, a guide without comparison, perfect in wisdom and virtue. So once you recall to mind such a great being, your faith becomes very strong. And when your faith is very strong, your mind is very composed and very calm. That's why all the heedlessness, the restlessness, the whatever problem born of lack of confidence or no more. Understand? This is how you develop. So when your faith is very strong, when your virya is very strong, then you can start your training of the mind to develop the third spiritual faculty, which is sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness is what? Awareness before the knowing. So awareness is when your body and mind, when you pay respect to the Buddha, move as one without thought. And that is mindfulness. Means the body and the mind is one. Understand? Synchronized. That is awareness. So when you do that frequently, means in your daily routine at home, before you sleep, you do. You pay respect, you meditate, you chant for a while. Then after that, you mindfully come out and develop awareness before you go to sleep. Then when you wake up next day, you do the same. Then before you leave your house, you pay respect. When you come back, you pay respect. Then you can meditate for a while. Then in between, whenever you are free, yeah, train your mind. Then you already train, you already know some form of daily mindfulness. And then you stabilize this daily mindfulness, starting from your home activity. So the moment you have sadas, virya, sati, means the faith or the confidence leading to the spiritual zeal and the mindfulness, once this tree is developed, the fourth and the fifth will come automatically. These two become automatic. Because when sati, mindfulness, become continuous, stable, then the mind enters samadhi. Samadhi, there are three types. Three types of samadhi. You heard of these three types of samadhi or not? What are they? Anybody? What is the first one? You haven't heard of this three types of samadhi? Nobody? Yes. Kanika is the first one. Momentary, moment to moment samadhi. Kanika. Samadhi. You heard of this, isn't it? So this one is moment to moment. Moment to moment. Samadhi. Samadhi is actually tranquility of mind. Tranquility of mind. When your mind is very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil, it enters samadhi. So when it's kanika samadhi, it's not that stable. Understand? This is the initial samadhi. This is sometimes also called initial samadhi. Initial samadhi. Or they call parikama samadhi or something like that. I forgot already. So this one, this type of samadhi is not stable enough. The mind is still not yet really collected and unwavering. It has some form of collectedness, but not stable. That's why it's not unwavering. This type of samadhi can waver very easily. That's why a lot of people don't understand. They say, you want to become pure vipassana. You heard of this, isn't it? Pure vipassana. They call it the dry vision type of arahant. Don't do samatha on this. They just do kanika samadhi, moment to moment awareness. But actually, this one is not stable enough. Yeah. You have to move on to the second one. What is it? Upacara Samadhi. Upacara Samadhi is more stable. Yeah. This one is what they call excess concentration. Means before you enter Apana Samadhi or absorption Samadhi or one-pointedness Samadhi, means you reach the threshold of Apana Samadhi, but you haven't gone into it yet. There is still clarity. Understand that? Yeah. This one is very stable. Yeah. This one is very stable. Collected and unwavering. Very stable. Where this one almost enter absorption and one-pointedness concentration, but it hasn't gone in yet. The last one is Apana Samadhi, the third one. This one, Apana Samadhi, is what they call absorption. Absorption or one-pointedness. Samadhi. Okay. This Apana Samadhi, you have to be careful. Eh? Once you enter this, you do Samatha meditation. Asana. That's why there are two types of meditation. One is Samatha Bhavana. The other one is Vipassana. Bhavana. You know the difference between these two, right? Eh? Vipassana is insight, develop wisdom to insight into the characteristics of nature. Vi is the three universal characteristics. Vipassana is to insight into. So bhavana is meditation or mental training. So whatever meditation that leads to insight into the three characteristics of nature, you call it vipassana. But whatever meditation that develops absorption or one-pointedness meditation, yeah, you call it samatha meditation. This one will take you into the energy field. Yeah. Jhana, psychic, and all those things. Your mind become absorbed into it. Then your mind develop the jhanic factor of one-pointedness finally. It's very peaceful, very calm. A lot of piti leading to sukha. Then later on, piti sukha also abundant. Then you just equanimity, one-pointedness, upekha. Then energy build up. Then like no thought. But this one is still within the field of thought. So this one enters samatha, the psychic field. Whereas this one, upacara samadhi, goes to vipassana. This one, you develop vipassana. The first one is too weak. Not stable enough, but good enough as a start. So when you develop sati, it's like, initially it's moment-to-moment awareness first, anasana. Then when it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi, upacara samadhi. This upacara samadhi is the real samadhi, collected and unwavering mind. This one is, to a certain extent, collected but not unwavering yet, anasana. Not unwavering yet. As yet. There is some form of collectedness. Can follow that? So now you understand how you develop samadhi. You see, if you are not careful, when you reach upacara samadhi, those who do formal meditation, they will go into apana samadhi straight away because it's so interesting, very calm, very peaceful. A lot of what they call a lot of strange things happening, Anasana. Like you become very excited, Anasana. Because the piti, the sukha, you can see nimitta and the energy field, like a lot of kung fu inside, Anasana. Oh, you start to think that this is something very special, Anasana. Then even for those who don't go into one-pointedness via the 40 object of meditation, if they do anapanasati, they can also go into apanasamadhi through continuous mindfulness. When your mindfulness is continuous and you let go of everything, you don't even want to know anything, you just go into absorption. Continuous mindfulness will lead into absorption. The whole mind is like absorbed into it. Understand now? Fully aware inside there, but cannot move. Cannot live life. But it's full of awareness inside there. Then it can actually be aware of many, many things. Then it can also arise psychic ability, everything. But this one, you cannot live life. Asana. This one is in a form of meditation. You're stuck there. Then later on, you can also carry this continuous mindfulness or jhana into your daily life. But you are not fully conscious like a normal living being. Asana. You have to release this apana samadhi to normal awareness. Daily life awareness. Means not a conditioned state. Once this one is developed, it becomes a conditioned state of mind. Conditioned state. Means your mind becomes very concentrated, very still, very silent. But it's a conditioned state because of all this energy field and continuous mindfulness as well. Then you like enlightened. But all your anusaya, you know what is anusaya now? Latent tendency or asava. The latent tendency, the defilement inside, they are all suppressed because of this energy field. They cannot come out. And there is no condition for them to come out. So when you are in this condition state, if you think you are enlightened, when you get old, then you will come to know that this is a condition state. Just like what I explained in the transcript. You read the 12 September 2013 transcript. Towards the end, Ingvi asked the question, can samadhi be developed in daily life? I explained to her, I say can. But you have to do it with understanding. The one that is a conditioned state is actually not the samadhi that the Buddha talked about. The samadhi within the five spiritual faculties is actually this upacara samadhi. So after you have developed this first tree, you stabilize the sati until it becomes excess concentration, means collected and unwavering, but it has not entered absorption. It has not gone into the what they call calm mind, very, very calm mind. So once you have sati and samadhi, you can develop the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Then in your daily life, you will start to see things as they are, then wisdom will come to be. This wisdom is very important. This wisdom is what they call insight wisdom, vipassana wisdom, or insight knowledges. Anasana, when you have sati and samadhi, there is no thought. You can see things as they are. That's like the phenomena that you come to be aware of. You will awaken to it. The phenomena will tell you the story. The universal characteristic within the phenomena when your mind is silent in sati and samadhi, it will awaken. It will insight into it without thought. Then it will realize the wisdom. And this is what they call enlightenment. You insight into it. There is no being inside there. that silent mind all of a sudden understood what that thing is through the silent mind in sati and samadhi. So that's why the five spiritual faculty, you develop the first four, the fifth will keep on arising. Yeah. So when this one arise, it will straighten your view. Straighten your view. That's why you have right view, understand not? Your noble eightfold path, you have right view. Right view is right understanding. First noble eightfold path factor. So without wisdom, you cannot straighten your view. And the first factors that you severe is sakkayadity. The factors of self-delusion. And you will straight away realize that there is no being inside there. No person, permanent unchanging entity that you can call me and the I. That's how you will realize non-self, anatta nature, within that form of mind. Then when you straighten your view in that way, you no longer deluded. The five aggregate of form and mind will have no power over you. And you cannot be deluded anymore. That's how your mind free, liberate. So now coming back to your question, Eric. You only need to train yourself, understand not? To develop this spiritual faculty, then you will overcome the hindrance. How does it overcome the hindrance? Now you listen. When you have faith, sadha, you overcome which hindrance? Which one you overcome? No more doubt, isn't it? So this one is gone, isn't it? When you have sadha, this one is gone. So, the faith, once developed, there's no more doubt. Then what happens is, when virya is there, there is no more sleepiness, correct or not? So this one is gone, understand not? Correct or not? When you have spiritual zeal, you cannot be sleepy anymore, isn't it? You determine to walk this path, cultivate. So, sloth and torpor, no more. When you have sati, what happened? You no thought, isn't it? No thought means what? No more sensual desire, no more ill will, no more restlessness. Understand? You are just aware. Understand? That's why the hindrances are all gone. Then sati will lead to samadhi. When there is samadhi, this one even less opportunity to arise. Understand? When you just mindful, moment-to-moment awareness, not enough. Because that's why sometimes when you are mindful from moment to moment, sensual desire, you will can still come and disturb you, understand not? Your mind still waver, understand not? Upon sense experience, when you see something, you may think in a retreat, you do the slow type of sati, then nothing to distract you. So you say your mind is collected and unwavering. No, that one, no condition to disturb you, understand not? When you come out into daily life, when there is condition to disturb you, then you realize this one is not stable enough. Understand not? That's why you have to do until your daily mindfulness is so stable, no matter what happened, you are still aware. Understand not? Until that mind is so different. Understand not? And most of the time, you don't think one. You are just aware. I explained to you the two types of sati, you remember? First one is what? The first one is what? The first one is what? The first sati is what? I just wrote off. I wrote here. What is this? Spacious awareness. Understand not? This one, no center one. Understand not? This is the sati that you normally develop in your formal meditation, when you're silent, or when you are in a contemplative state, when you just silent everything and be with one, with nature. Then the mind is not specifically aware of anything. It's just silent. A general spacious awareness. So this general spacious awareness is the true mind. The first awareness. But the moment you develop the second type, actually the mind is about to come out already. Yeah. So this one, the second one is, this one is what you use most, yeah? The second time. Second time is what? Huh? Specific phenomena awareness. Yes or not? Specific phenomena. Awareness. Means what? The mind or the awareness. And the phenomena is one. And phenomena as one. Means your mind and the phenomena as one. Understand? There is no thought. You just aware. Like moving car. Your mind and that thing move. No word, nothing. That when you are silent, like this rotating fan, if once you aware of this, means specific awareness, your mind and the thing as one. Then when your kaya move, your body and mind as one, this is specific phenomena awareness. And your mind can only do one thing at a time. When it's in this general spacious awareness, it is still not going into specific. But the moment you come out to live life, you have to be specifically aware of certain phenomena. Then you can move within awareness and perception. But when you have this stability of mindfulness and samadhi, you don't think one. Your thought is very, very little. You most of the time just aware, then you act. That's enough. You can perceive. Aware, perceive, and act. That's enough. That's why it's spontaneous one. And you won't know what to do one. But that one, you need to train until your wisdom is there. Yoni so manasikara. And then you won't get into any trouble anymore. Then you can live. Truly live. So these two aspects of sati, you need to develop until you understand. Because as you go through the mindfulness training, as you develop this daily mindfulness, you will come to know how your mind goes into these two. Yeah. Especially the second type of sati. Yeah. You don't try to go and look for dictionary to define or internet. Because this one, I have to come up with the words. Nobody has written about this yet. To explain what sati to you also so difficult. You go and check the internet. You try to get definition on sati. It's crazy. You go and check. See what is defined there. What they wrote down there is very different. They always tell you sati got a lot of things to do with recollection. Karena, memory. Which is not really wrong. A lot of things to do with that. But sati is not that. Where sati is awareness. Before the knowing. Because if you are aware, you can recollect, isn't it? You can recall, isn't it? Correct? When you move your hand, you aware, then where you put your purse, or when you want to recall where you place certain things, you mindfully do it, you will recall, isn't it? Correct? That's why in that moment, when you are aware, because that moment you can only be aware of one thing at a time. So if you are aware of this, you cannot expect that person to be aware of other things. Unless it's a general spacious awareness, then it's not specific. There is no clarity. But he will know there is movement. There is something going on. And he can tell you, but not specific. But if he really specifically aware, then he can tell you a lot of things. Understand? Because he's fully aware. Understand? Of course, aware, perceive, but no thought. Understand? Can follow that? Okay? So when you develop your meditation, you focus on these five spiritual faculty, then all these hindrances will be gone. So when samadhi is there, it's stabilized and your sensual desire, ill will and restlessness and doubt, all cannot come out. Understand? That's why when you have these first four, your hindrance at bay. No more hindrance. Then the moment you have panya, once this one, wisdom arises, later on, you don't even need samadhi to be at peace. These five hindrance totally got no power over you. Understand? Because the wisdom don't need a conditioned state of mind to make you peaceful. Understand? Then during that time, you don't even need sati and samadhi. Yeah. All this is automatic, understood, inside. Especially when you develop them until it become powers. You heard of this five spiritual faculty when it become power? It's called yeah? They call it balas, anasara. That's why under the 37 factors of enlightenment, these five spiritual faculty or mental spiritual faculty, they are repeated twice. Anasara. The second category is when they become balas or powers. When you stabilize until it's so stable, it becomes balas, power, means your faith is unshakable, virya is unshakable, sati is unshakable, samadhi is unshakable, wisdom is unshakable. Means they become a part of you, automatic, within your nature. Asana. So meditation is to just develop this first three, then stabilize this. That's why when you do your meditation, forget about whether the mind wander or what. Understand? Because your faith not strong. That's why you have to constantly cultivate your daily routine, your pre-puja, your post-puja. Understand? That's why you must develop all this spiritual faculty. Then constantly reflect, contemplate. That's why the Buddha advises us to reflect on the great virtue of the Buddha. He called it Buddha no sati. Anasana. Then reflect on the Dhamma, Dhamma no sati. Then on the Aryan Sangha, Sangha no sati. Yeah. Then of course, reflection on death and all those things, Marana no sati and all those things. So, spiritual faculties are the most important. That's why initially when you want to develop this meditation, let's say your five spiritual faculty is not stable yet. So what must you do? You have to train your sati, isn't it? Correct? Correct? Because these two is easier. But let's say you have not stabilized, so sati is not there. So what do? Pay respect, you try to do. Then when you come to the sitting meditation, if let's say your hindrance are more powerful, your other spiritual faculty not there yet because the sati not stable, sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, doubt very powerful. That's enough. So what must you do? You have to decondition this heedless thinking there. So what do you do? Huh? You read the book already, you tell me. What must you do? Huh? You start with what? No. Your mind sweeping method, isn't it? When you do your mind sweeping method, means what? You silence your mind and just feel aware. Don't think, understand? When you feel aware and don't think, means what? Huh? You are trying to decondition this heedless thinking. Isn't it? You say you think a lot, isn't it? A lot of thought, isn't it? So that's why I say you go to the forehead, feel, relax. When you feel and relax and don't think, this will be a new deconditioning, understand? Then as you move to your eye muscle, again you feel and relax. Then you don't think. Facial muscle do the same. Then you radiate love and metta. When you radiate love and metta, you bring about a wholesome mind. Understand? A wholesome mind that is peaceful, calm, with a lot of inner well-being and inner peace. That's why this type of mind, when you combine mind sweeping method with metta, it deconditions the heedless thinking. That's why after you sweep one round complete, you feel more calm and more peaceful, understand not? Just like I give you the analogy of the bell, the momentum. If you don't stop, this momentum will take you through, understand? That's why the restlessness, the heedlessness will always be there. But because you do this, you actually break off the momentum. Then for it to start to think again, it needs more of this momentum, the force, to become heedless again, understand not? So that's why when you do the mind sweeping method, you start to decondition the heedless thinking, then you realize you become more calm, more peaceful. There is the beginning. Then after that, there is some form of sati already, because now you only feel relaxed, you don't think. When you don't think means what? Silent mind. Every time you feel and relax, you become silent. Asana. Yeah. So once this one develop, initially it's like moment to moment or off and on, asana. So what must you do? You go into anapanasati to stabilize it, asana. That's why you train that mind to be aware of the in and out breath. Asana. Not concentrate, asana. Just be mindful of it. Breathing in, the mind is aware, asana. Breathing out is aware. Means the mind and the breath move as one, asana. That is what you're supposed to do. Then your question no more, asana. Why the restlessness is there? Why the mind think a lot? What must I do? See? If you have read with understanding, I have been repeating that for so long, then you will know what to do, is that? That's why I say, patiently just develop awareness of the breathing. Means maintain awareness in front of your nostril, then silence your mind, relax everything, and feel. Feel the breathing. The moment you breathe in and breathe out, this awareness will actually detect it. Understand? The moment you detect it, allow the awareness to be with it. That's why, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Understand? So this is how you train. This is how you develop your meditation. Where is Eric? Gone down. Yeah. So clear or not now? Yeah? So when you develop your meditation, as I always said, you must do with understanding. Understand? Means you must understand what you do in the name of meditation. Then all these questions, no more. Understand? Then you will know how to meditate. Understand? The focus is what? When you have not trained your mind to develop sati, you must train it to be aware. Understand? So that sati can be stabilized. Yeah. So that's why initially you do the mind sweeping method, then you develop anapanasati to train, asana. You train the wandering mind, the heedless mind, the mundane mind, asana. The true mind no need to train on, asana. The true mind is already aware. But because your mundane mind, your thinking mind, cannot become silent. The heedlessness continue because of the hindrance. But the moment the hindrance is gone, when the spiritual faculty take over, you are always very calm, very peaceful and aware because sati is there. Understand? Then when sati stabilizes until samadhi is there, most of the time you are in this calm state. Understand? Aware state. Then you realize that the heedful living is with the spiritual faculty. The heedless living is without the spiritual faculty. Understand? And there is a world of a difference between heedful living and heedless living. Heedful living is so peaceful, full of clarity and awareness, and you can develop so much wholesomeness out of it. Whereas the heedless thinking is full of hindrance, full of the evil roots, and is so restless, so hectic, so full of fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness, with a lot of sensual desire and ill will, and so on. Your mind becomes like so distracted, and so on. So confused, so full of doubt, so muddled up. Asana. So can follow now? Yeah? Okay? Yeah. So now you know how to meditate. Just recall to mind the understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation. Because you are here to develop the understanding of meditation. So if you want to develop the understanding of meditation, you must know what is meditation. So meditation is very simple. There are two parts to it. The Buddha said, to meditate, you must have heedfulness. To have heedfulness means you must have sati. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then it becomes apamada, heedfulness. So if you don't have sati, you train your mind. Then you realize your mind cannot be trained because hindrances are there. And then the Buddha say, you develop the five spiritual faculty. Before you go into sati, you develop sadha and virya. Asana. And then after that, you train sati. That's why sati, actually, very few people understand. They don't know how to train sati. But they don't even really understand what sati is. That's why it cannot be done if you don't even understand what the word is. That's why you will be very surprised everywhere. people teaching meditation, yet they cannot define to you what sati is. Understand? No? So they believe what they do is sati. Understand? No? That's why they use the thought to note to do. They think that is sati. And they are all called thought-based. When there is thought, there is no sati. Understand? No? Sati is the silent mind without thought. So how can you use thought to verbalize? To know, to be aware? Cannot. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. You only need to understand that the moment you are silent, you are already aware, because that is your nature. Without the thinking mind, the mundane mind, to cloud your nature, your awareness, it will shine for. It will be there. So you only need to develop the spiritual faculty. But once you have the spiritual faculty, sati and samadhi will make sure you don't think. Asana. And sadha also will make you very composed, very calm. So spiritual faculty is the most important. Okay? Good. Any more questions or reporting? Anybody else? If you're not clear, you can ask. Don't worry. Because I understand not easy for most of you. Can follow now? Clear? Okay, anybody else want to report their meditation? That's why you must ask. Just like Eric, he asked, then I explain. Although I have gone through this quite a number of times, but every time I go through, I will approach it differently based on your capacity to understand. So now I add in a few things, the three types of samadhi. Last time, I long time didn't share this already. I only spoke about this in the early years, 2005, that time. Then you are lucky because tomorrow I'm supposed to give a talk on Samatha Vipassana Bhavana in Klang. So it's at the MBC Center, Tiratana. So because of that, I recall what this thing is. So there were conditions, so I explained a little bit. Yesterday, Thursday class also, I explained a little bit. This itself is a very major topic. Vipassana, samatha. And a lot of people, they don't quite understand what these two terms are. Okay, anybody else wants to report? Padmasuri, pass the mic to her. Sadhu.
Brother Teo, this is my personal report. After some time doing the Anapanasati, you feel your the breath no more. And then you can feel the
very
heart
good.
The beating.
Yes.
But then the more quiet your mind is,
yes,
the heart seems like beating
faster
louder
and louder.
And faster. And then it's like the left side.
Correct.
It's like the whole thing is moving.
Very good.
And then after that, when I try to go back to the breath, I cannot.
No need to go back.
But
no need to go back.
The body is moving so fast.
No, it's not the body is moving so fast. Actually, everything is still the same. But your awareness, your mindfulness has become more refined. That's why when you're silent and just be there without thought, everything like magnified. That's why you say the heart. The heartbeat. Definitely, because that is. That is sati. That is the true sati. Understand? No? The true sati without thought has clarity, because there is no more thought to cloud you. Understand? No? To distract you, to keep you occupied with phenomena. Understand? No? Then you just silent and aware. That's why that silent mind is so sensitive, so refined, and have such clarity. That's why you say the heartbeat like very loud pounding and all that. Doctor had to use stethoscope to hear the heartbeat. No? You without stethoscope, you can hear it so loud. No? It's not that it's louder. It's your mind has transformed. That's how your anapanasati, when you develop until like little or no breath, that is the time your mind is trying to develop sati on its own. Means your mind has entered sati. Huh? Listen, huh? Your mind has entered sati. Mind entering sati. When I say this, I refer to the mundane mind. Huh? This one is the mundane mind. Understand that? Mundane mind. So when your mundane mind is about to like silent, this mind enters sati. It comes into contact with your true mind. Understand that? Yeah. And your true mind is already aware. Understand that? That's why when your mind is entering sati, means what? You don't need any object of meditation anymore. Understand? Technically, you no need to train it already. Understand? It's okay, never mind. Yeah. Technically, you no need to train that mind already. Understand? That's why you don't need any more object of meditation. Understand? So when mind entering sati means no need any more object of meditation to anchor it. Because it's already in sati, understand? When it's already in sati, why do you need an object of meditation? You need an object of meditation is because you need to anchor it there, understand? To train it so that it is stable, aware, so that it will not wander off. Understand? Because whatever object of meditation, as I always explain, is just a skillful means to train your mind, remember? To anchor your mind so that it does not wander off, it is not heedless, so that it can be with the moment with the object of meditation. Then when you train until it's fully aware, it means you become very skillful already, then this awareness will slow down, understand? Slow down until it becomes very silent and very still. Just like what Paramahansa went through. Then that time you don't do anything. Don't go and do sitting touching. But the mind is already in sati. It's already aware. Wherever you locate it, it will be very, very sensitive. That's why you can put anywhere you want to try. You just silent and stay at the heart. Because the heart is the seat of consciousness. From here, everything arises, anasana. It's like the resting place, anasana. So from here, all of the life force that come, that give rise to consciousness, arise from here, anasana. So you can actually be aware of how it actually moves from this center. Then later on, you technically don't even need to stay there. When you truly stabilize everything, even the heart there, you no need to stay there because it is already an automatic awareness from that nature. You don't need to hold on to anything. That's why that finally, like Hui Neng say, the mind must have no dwelling. This mind doesn't dwell anywhere. There is no center. Means what? It's just spacious awareness. There is no center. From which the mind think, or from which the mind is supposed to be aware, understand? No center means no ego, no atta, understand? No me, no I, understand? No sakayadity, no personality. There is no such thing as a person inside there who think, understand? That is sakayadity. Even a center to be aware, no. that awareness is just aware. There is no one inside there. It's just like consciousness when they arise. There is no one to be conscious. It's just upon contact, consciousness come to be, like the physical experiment, remember? You on the switch, the light bulb just light up. And the lighting up is the consciousness, like you become conscious. But there is nobody inside there to become conscious. It's an automatic lighting up. Okay? Yeah.
But Brother Tio, when I come back to metta, I have I have difficulty.
You sure got problem because sati is without thought. That's why you want to verbalize again. That's why you have to understand all this. Later on, you cannot verbalize anymore. You read it from the heart. You remember last time I explained? Initially, you use a little bit of thought base. You use the word to stimulate the metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel it. Be well and happy. You need the word to actually bring about that feeling. That well-being inside you. Then later on, as you stabilize, you don't need word from your heart. That's why that metta is from your heart. And there's an energy that can flow out.
When I try to wheel it out from my heart is beating.
Definitely, because initially, you see, the wheel is still from the thought, understand not? But at least the wheel is not from image anymore, understand not? Not from word, not verbalized anymore, understand? It's wheel from the heart, understand not? But it's no more a concept or what? It's actually still from the thought, understand not? Because it's a mind, understand not? You wheel it out, understand not? But later on, this one, when wisdom is there, when understanding is there, when the real metta is there, it just come out, understand? You can just radiate it out. Because when you have metta, you can radiate, understand? When you don't have metta, you cannot radiate, understand? When that loving kindness is within your nature, when your nature has metta, then it can radiate, understand? Then no need to wheel, understand? It's just like you have electricity, you can pass it out, isn't it? But if you don't have electricity, you have to wheel it out, isn't it? You have to use some force to force it out, isn't it? So it's the same. So initially verbalize, then you wheel it out, then after that, from your nature, it flows. Understand? So for you to feel all those things is normal, because now your mind has more sati. It has actually developed the more refined state of mind. Means the awareness is more and more stable now. So much so that wherever you locate that thing, it is very sensitive. Not only your heartbeat, you can try other place. You put it around your brain or any part, you can feel the vibration everywhere over your body. Like last night, Christina had a retreat. He said the whole body is like vibrating. The whole body is vibrating.
You can feel the cohesive.
And the vibration, oscillation. Then when you sleep now, easy. You just lie down. Yes. All the contact between you and the bed, full of vibration. The whole body. That's why you are not quiet. Every moment, every instant, every part of it. That's why sometimes you just lie down. The awareness is everywhere. That's why you don't think anymore. But of course, initially when you had that experience, you become very excited. You say, wow, this is marvelous, this is beautiful. That thought still moves. But you are more aware already. And when you are aware, you cannot think. But because initially, first time you got it, like piti, sukha, you enjoy it. It's okay to have it. But later on, as you stabilize, you become so different. You can just be with it and without thought. And then you slip through. And then you find out what happened. That piti, sukha, and that joy, and the peace, and the stillness is so different. Then later on, this vibration all will slow down. Slow down. Like what Ingby felt. When you just trust that nature, silent everything. Don't try to know anything, just silent. Then you realize the vibration all slow down. Then when your condition is ready, it slow down until no more heartbeat. No more heartbeat. Then even the awareness also later on will cease. And then I sadhu you. Means you have a glimpse of Nibbana. then later on the whole cessation can come. But you need to have wisdom. You have to break through sakayadity. You have to have the direct seeing first. Awaken the phenomena first. Otherwise it cannot happen. Even that one moment of cessation cannot happen unless the wisdom is already there. Sakayadity already severed. Didn't on, eh? Oh, on. Yeah, it's on already. Okay. It's just like not enough battery. Okay. So, does I answer your question? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm on the right way, whether that is a heartbeat or not.
No, it's a heartbeat. No, it's the heartbeat. Of course, you got to do qi gong, all those things, I know. But it's the heartbeat. But because you have a lot of qi, it tend to magnify and so on. But don't worry, because it's only when you have sati, you can feel all those things. That's why the moment your mind become quiet, peaceful, silent, that is your very near your true mind. Then when you stabilize that, your daily mindfulness is very easy one after that. After that, you just sit down, silent. You start to see everything. Last time you cannot see. You start to see your sati, your maya, is with the phenomena. Then when you see the fan, it's different already. Then when you look at things, all different. Even the tree, the trunk, the leaf, the branches, all the movement, all is like a flow. Your mind and the thing move. Then you look at people, like you can be inside the person. Oh, just like I told you, the char kway teow guy. It's like I'm inside him doing the frying.
But brother, when people look at us, also very weird.
No, not weird. No, you are peaceful.
No, when people scold you, you don't stir. They feel no, very weird.
No, in that sense, you think it's weird, but it's not weird. because you are different already. You don't like last time. Very sensitive and reactive. Oh, people scold you or say a little bit, you're very sensitive, you start to react. But now you are so different. But people were no one, because you are so different on the positive side, understand? Because you tend to smile, understand? You are not the strange type, understand? You know, some people, they don't react, but they never smile, understand? They're very serious, understand? But your nature is very different, understand? And people can feel you. You smile a lot. Then you radiate a lot of metta from your heart. You have a lot of joy. That's why your mental state, your consciousness is very different. Very beautiful. Then a lot of people find, I don't know about your case, for me, a lot of people, they find me very different. Then they like to look at me. Then they also smile. They also don't know why they smile. And it's very common. Then last time when my metta was so strong, I can radiate until that person turn around and look at me. Then smile to me. Because I smile. He was walking in front. I was testing. Last time is when I walk, I saw somebody coming. Then I radiate. He sure look at me. Then smile. Then later on I try. That person walk in front of me. Then I radiate. I really turn. That person just turn and look at me. But the conscious mind cannot understand. But the nature can feel. Understand? Then they turn. These are the people not so heedless. The heedless one cannot. They are preoccupied in their own world of thought. But the one that is cheerful and without much problem on, are you ready? They can feel one. The heart can feel one. They turn. They will turn. You can experiment with all this. It's very interesting, I tell you. I remember 20, 30 years ago, I was amazed when all these things start to happen. And you know one. The nature know. That's why the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang one, can be realized by the wise for themselves. That form and mind will know one. It's so different one. And no need to conform with book or anybody one. You yourself, that form and mind will know what that thing is. But the Dhamma is pachetang. Can only be realized by the wise. And when it arrives, it's so beautiful, so different. And no need words on it. Then sometimes I need to come out with new words. Because nobody write about it. There is no description or convention on this thing yet. Even sati. All those definition I give to you, you cannot find in any book, I tell you. Okay, anything else? No more. Adam, Ellen, Pastor Ellen.
Brother, just now you mentioned cessation. Cessation
yes.
Or what?
For my mind. The mundane mind is... Enlightenment is Nibbana. Nibbana is a cessation of form and mind. Means that five aggregate of form and mind, the five mental aggregate, cease completely. Then when that one cease, it's stillness. Complete stillness. But no word can describe it. Where there is no mind inside there. Even the pure awareness also no more. Everything ceases to be. It is very difficult to understand. You have to go through. The form and mind realize itself and everything ceases. But that cessation cannot come unless that form and mind have gone through that what they call direct seeing, the awakening, the insight. Otherwise your form and mind cannot cease. Where the craving is there. When the craving is there, the form and mind is always active. The craving force is very powerful, very strong. Not until you insight very clearly into phenomena, then you realize, he know you, he know me. Then everything is just condition arising, causal phenomena. Then you understand the dependent origination very clearly. Then you realize, the mundane mind is not you, understand? Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then you just let things be. And then during that time, everything starts to slow down. Whatever activity will start to slow down. Sankhara, everything slow down. Then until everything stops still. Then all of a sudden, it's like, it enters cessation. But this one is not a conditioned state, no. The conditioned state one also can enter cessation or no. They call it Nirodha Samapatti, Sahampatti. That one is through the fourth jhana. You can also go in. Stay there for 7 days, 7 nights. that one is a conditioned state. It's like no mind, no thought, everything. But actually that one is going to the fourth jhana. Then enter Upekha, cessation. But the real cessation that realizes Nibbana is different. There is no conditioned mind. It's the unconditioned. It just ceases. And for it to cease, you cannot control one. When the condition is there, when the time is there, it will just go into the cessation. But the form and mind will know. Because when you come out of it, there's a lot of things that happen on the brain here. Then the area of consciousness between your heart area and your tantian area and your forehead area. These three areas of consciousness return to one. Then cease. Then during that time, your whole brain, nothing. But you are not dead. That's enough. Your whole brain is like a dynamo. That's enough. You know what is a dynamo? When you turn, the electricity be generated is like, it's like, then you use that consciousness to arise thought and all those things. Then to become alive, to become conscious. But when you go into cessation, this consciousness ceases. The whole electricity thing, like the consciousness, the mind, no more there. Then like there is nothing inside the brain. This brain completely without activity. That day I read to you the Krishnamurti quote, you remember? That one. I don't know whether you still have it or not. You still have it? I think I still have the copy here. Emptiness of the brain. I read to you again. Then you understand. And walking on that road, there was complete emptiness of the brain. See, the whole brain is empty. Empty of what? Thought and consciousness. And the mind was free of all experience. See? No perception, no experience, nothing. Not even conscious. Yeah? The knowing of yesterday, though a thousand yesterday has been, yeah? Time, which is the thing of thought, has stopped. Understand? Means no psychological time, no thought movement, no activity at all. Literally, there was no movement before and after. There was no going or arriving or standing still. Space as distance was not. There were the hills and bushes, but not as high and low. There was no relationship with anything, but there was an awareness of the bridge and the passerby. The totality of the mind in which is the brain. A deepening and widening energy without measure or comparison, measurement belonging to thought and so to time cease. The otherness was the mind without time. This is the one. Yeah? It was the breath of innocence and immensity. Words are not reality. They are only means of communication. That's why you use word, speech, to communicate. But they are not the innocent and the immeasurable. The emptiness was alone, but it's not a person. So this one is a very good description of the brain when it entered that state. But here Krishnamurti is not really talking about cessation. He's talking about the enlightened state. Of pure awareness, the immensity, the energy that come in when you go through that state. It is a completely different experience. The brain, no thought, no movement, but that pure energy, the pure awareness is so immense, so innocent. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. It's not of thought, not of time. Then later on, even all of this can cease. That's why, like he said, there is nothing, even all of experience, free of all experience. There is no like mind to experience anything. Because the mundane mind is not there, it's just that true nature, the awareness. But later on, this awareness and this true nature also, the pure awareness also cease. Then you really go through what the Buddha described as the realization of Nibbana. That one you cannot talk about it, you cannot describe, because there is nothing, no word, nothing. Everything ceases. But the funny part is when you come back, when the consciousness come back, because the five aggregate of form and mind still connected to your nature, etc. Its life force, its karmic nature, is still there. It has not ceased yet. This is not parinibbana. Parinibbana is like when the Buddha become completely enter cessation, where the form and mind, the five aggregate, the physical body and the consciousness, the coming force, no more than parinibbana. But you realize nibbana, then your five aggregate of form and mind still within the condition to exist, to arise. Then when it come back, the five aggregate of form and mind who went through this, they will understand. It's like the beginning of creation. How that consciousness come back. Then how it split into three. Then how the brain here suddenly zoom, like the whole dynamo start again. Then how it start to function again. You will understand. Then you understand very clearly how creation come to be. Why the Buddha say mind is the forerunner of thing, mind is chief. When mind arise, everything come to be. Then you see the dependent origination everything very clearly. That's how you have to go through that cessation. That cessation of dukkha is to be realized, the third noble truth, second turning. You have to realize that cessation. Otherwise, there is no enlightenment. So the third turning confirm it. This cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana has already been realized. Then you complete the training. Don't try to know yet. When you develop the meditation, just do. Don't try to know. This one, you try to know, it will hinder you. Where you use thought to imagine, to try to get an idea. Then you go and look for it. And then it becomes the thought-based meditation again. You just silence your mind and just continue to develop the meditation. Just silence everything. The silent mind will understand. Then you will realize that all of a sudden, when the condition is ready, the cessation will happen by itself. So you don't have to know anything. Okay? Oh, almost 10:30. So if you got no more question, then maybe we end. We do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then after that, you make your aspiration. So next time, if you got any question while at home, you write it down, or keep it in your WhatsApp. Then you forward it to the Sui An, or forward it to the Kayanamita website, or the Thursday class website. Then I can use it when we have the class. Okay? Okay. Sharyam Ritsudadevasa Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sitiya. May all beings share these merits that we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasadakalena sasa sampatihitu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of today, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully. Then we end.
Yeah.